A heads up, listeners, our next segment deals with sex trafficking and sexual abuse. We just wanted you to know this before we begin the conversation. My next guest's documentary was a standout at this year's Sundance Film Festival, garnering a directing award as well as a nomination for the Grand Jury Prize. It's a cinema verite documentary about the rescue of Kurdish women who have been kidnapped and sex trafficked by ISIS. The film is titled Sabaya, which is a term used by ISIS members to refer to people forced into sexual enslavement. The women and girls we meet in this documentary are Yazidi, a Kurdish religious minority, and were abducted by ISIS over 5 years ago from their homes in Sinjar province, Iraq. The Yazidi were targeted for genocide by ISIS, and more than 2,000 Yazidi girls and women are missing. The film follows the mission of a group called Yazidi Home Center and focuses specifically on one man, Mahmoud, as he fields phone calls day and night from Yazidi families searching for their abducted relatives. He leads camp raids, and then he and his family help reintroduce the women and girls to life away from ISIS control. Filmed in Syria in 2019, in and near the Al-Hol camp where thousands of refugees and people who had formerly been under ISIS rule live. The Yazidi Home Center enlists the help of infiltrators, women who bravely embed in the camp to find out information about the missing women and relay their findings so the extractions can be made. And the film's director, Hogir Hirori, is right there with his camera, documenting the rescues and the heartbreaking recovery. With me now to discuss the film, which is now available in theaters, is its director, Hogir Hirori, and producer, Antonio Russo. Hogir and Antonio, welcome.
Thank you.
And a note to listeners, Hogir is originally from Iraqi Kurdistan and fled to Sweden in 1999, where he lives in Stockholm. So for this interview, we'll be hearing him speak in Swedish, and his answers are going to be interpreted by Hanna Valenta. Hanna, thanks for being with us as well.
Sure, no problem.
Hogir, how did you first come to be connected with the organization, the Yazidi Home Center?
I decided to go down to Syria to find out what happened to these kidnapped women and girls. And that's when I first met Ziad, and through him I met Mahmoud and the whole Yazidi Home Center.
Antonio, I'm sure there were many difficulties in making this film. What was one of the biggest challenges that you all encountered?
You know, the biggest challenge, it might sound strange, but it was actually to finance the project, because, you know, we had to keep our characters safe for basically the old process. So we couldn't actually go out and, you know, pitch the film, present the film, you know, all those, you know, forum for co-financing of documentaries. But we were very lucky because the Swedish Film Institute here in Sweden understood, you know, our situation, and we presented some material to them because we know we could trust them. And they immediately felt this is such an urgent story, and you just need to go ahead. We will back you up until the very end. So we were extremely lucky that they actually could do that, and we could complete the film despite so many difficulties, and because the film was extremely challenging and very difficult to sort of work on. And there were moments where the risk that Hogi was taking were so high that we were very close to actually call it off. You know, it was very, very risky. But I'm very happy we never did that because, as I said, this is such an urgent story and it needed to be told. And I'm so happy that we actually did complete the film.
Hogi, this question is for you. There's no voiceover and very little contextual information provided in the film. Why did you decide on this cinema verite style, and how long did you film?
This was a conscious choice that I made already before starting to film, that I wanted to capture reality as it was unfolding in front of my eyes. I didn't want to have any staged interviews. I just wanted to capture reality exactly as it was. Whatever I got captured with my camera, that was what was going to make up the film. In total, we had about 90 hours of film.
Antonio, what do you think this film's style allows the audience to experience?
you know, our aim with the film, you know, was to, you could say, you know, to focus on a very disturbing subject that had received, you know, very little attention outside the Middle East. And we really wanted to avoid making, you know, a sort of a creative documentary that, you know, you had seen before. You know, we really wanted to sort of, you know, we were aiming to bring a localized struggle at the attention of a global audience. And that's what has been, you know, our goal from the very beginning. And we are very happy that the film has received so far, you know, a very overwhelming positive response and attention. And that means that, you know, we are on the right path and we sort of, you know, to succeed with that. And that's extremely, makes us extremely happy and proud.
We're talking about the film Sabaya, about the rescue of Yazidi women who have been captured by ISIS. I'm speaking with the director of the film, Hogia Hirori, producer Antonio Russo, and interpreter Hannah Valenta. Hogia, you filmed alone without a crew for everyone's safety. Was there ever a time that you felt unsafe while making this film?
There were many times that I felt that danger was looming right around the corner, and it was always present. But the fact is that this is their life down there. Danger and chaos and unrest is always a part of their lives. So usually I got into their everyday lives and tried not to think about it too much. And I have experienced war, and I have experienced being a refugee almost all my childhood. So it was a little bit like going back in time and re-experiencing my own traumas from my childhood. But I was also at the same time kind of used to that way of life as well. What made it different this time was that now I have a family back in Sweden. I have a wife and two children. I did not want to risk them being without a father. So the stakes were a bit higher for me this time.
Hogia, can you describe Mahmoud for us, what he's like, and why he was a good sort of vessel or vehicle to tell the story?
Mahmoud is a very focused and driven person. He doesn't talk very much about what he's going through or what he's doing, but he is completely committed and focused all the time, and he's always busy receiving a text or writing a text or making a phone call or trying to make things happen with these rescues. And it just happened to be that Mahmoud lived closest to the Al-Hol camp, and I found myself ending up at his home more and more often, and in the end it just became natural to focus on him in the film.
Hogir, we follow, we get to see the raids. They're very dramatic. We get to see Mahmoud, who's very passionate. We get to see the danger. We learn about the abuse these women have gone through. Some of them have been sold, some of them have been raped, they have been abused, and that's all, you know, very visceral and very dramatic. And then there's this sort of quieter, equally important part of this story is the role of Mahmoud's wife and mother, and even his little son, helping these women when they are extricated from this horrible circumstance. How would you describe the role of Mahmoud's family in this story?
I spent a lot of time with Mahmoud and his family, and in hanging out at their home, I came to spend almost more time with his wife and his mother than I did actually with Mahmoud. And I felt that it was important to tell their story equally as much and to highlight their role in the recovery of these girls, because they were the ones that help these girls feel safe. They help them feel better, have someone to talk to. I felt that they needed to be lifted as well. And I was also very impressed. Mahmoud and his family, they share everything they have with all the girls that come to live with them. They don't have much. They're very poor people. But what they do have, they do share with all the girls that live with them.
At one point, we get to meet some of the women who infiltrate these camps. They're informants, they embed, they give you information. How did that process work? How did these women get involved?
You see, the home center uses different types of infiltrators, and one of the types of infiltrator is the one we see in the film. And these are women that volunteer to go back into the camp and rescue their women that they knew when they were held captive themselves. So they volunteer to go back and look for their friends and help rescue them.
One of the most difficult parts of the film as a viewer is seeing the lasting emotional trauma that ISIS has inflicted on some of these girls and women. There's one woman who's left the camp and is safe at the Yazidi Home Center, but she turns to the camera and says, "Soon you will hear I committed suicide. I will die like the rest of my family, my brothers, and my father." Hogir, what are there mental health resources available for these women once they're rescued?
These women first spend some time with Mahmoud and his family to recover a little bit, to just come back to being a normal human being again. And then they're transferred to the other side of the border and reunited with their families. And in Iraqi Kurdistan, where they are reunited with their families, there are some organizations working to help them recover their mental health. But they need more help. There are also other countries that accept these rescued girls if they're not reunited with their families and stay with their families. For example, Canada and Germany accept a lot of these girls to try to help them.
Antonio, what do you hope American audiences take away from the film Sabaya?
Well, I think, you know, what I hope, I mean, it's probably nothing specific for the American audience. I just hope that, as we mentioned, you know, we want to raise awareness. That's been our goal in making this film. You know, we just want to bring this localized struggle, you know, at the attention of a global audience, you know, and of course, the American audience is a big part of that audience. So that's our hope, you know, and we just, you know, hope that the film can be watched by as many Americans as possible, and that's the and that's why we're very grateful that the film has been brought to North America by MTV Documentary Films, and we hope that they with their help we can reach the widest audience as possible.
The name of the film is Sabaya. It is available in theaters now. I've been speaking with its director, Hogir Hirori, producer Antonio Russo, with the help of interpreter Hannah Valenta. Thanks to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.